Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
A word of prayer and then we'll get into today's Bible lesson. Hallelujah. I love this season, the resurrection season. It's awesome. My favorite. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to come into your presence, O God. We thank you that as we feed on your holy written word, speak to each and every one of us and people also that listen to this after the fact as well, Lord. We pray that your hand rest upon this message. Let it come forth in power. Let it have its free course, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your name, O Lord, be glorified. Reveal to us what happened in the resurrection and the process that led to the death, crucifixion, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name, O God, that we hear from heaven and we hear accurately in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We thank God. Thank God. Thank God. The Bible says that if Jesus Christ hadn't resurrected, then we are all men most hopeless. We are the most hopeless of people on the earth, because we make noise that we talk about the fact that Jesus Christ came, he died, he resurrected, and he's coming back again. And so, thank God that he's alive. He's not dead. We don't serve a dead God. We don't serve an absentee father. He's an ever-present help, and he's always with us. Hallelujah. So I'm excited this morning. We're still excited about the provision of this location. We're still rejoicing over it, and we are glad. And many miracles are on the way. So let's turn our Bibles this morning into Ephesians chapter 1. Last week, we talked about the life of God that was made available to us in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. So let's look at the text that we are looking at during this season, this resurrection season. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Notice wisdom and revelation and knowledge. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling to which he has called you? What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go dig into that a little bit. Paul is saying that he prays these prayers for the church at Ephesus. And these are prayers that you can pray for yourself every day, all the time. He says he does it always. But this is what he wants them to know, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17, the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened. Other translations say that having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you and what are the riches of the glory of his glorious inheritance in the saints. He said, he wants you not to know this truth or this revelation in your head. He wants you to know it in your heart. What happened? The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? Notice the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, of his great might, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. He's saying that the greatest exercise of God's power took place in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, that power is already toward us who believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The resurrection power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is already toward us who believe. Hallelujah. Let's all say this together. The resurrection power. Let's all say the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ is toward me. It's toward me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You should say that to yourself all the time. Resurrection is about the power of God, the greatest exercise of God's power when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And that power is already toward us. That power is what we walk in triumphantly in life. That power is what has come inside us, and we walk in the fullness of it. Hallelujah. We are not trying to get it. The Bible says that it is already toward us who believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, this last week, we looked at the life of God that was made available to us in the resurrection. And today, being Palm Sunday, or looking at the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, I want us to look at this aspect, what Jesus Christ went through from the garden and all the way on the cross. What happened? I mean, why did he have to go through what he went through? Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 17 to 18. John chapter 10, verse 17 to 18. He says that I have power to lay my life down and to take it back again. John chapter 10, verse 17 to 18. He says, for this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus said no one had the ability to take his life. No one had the ability to let him leave the earth till he put it down. Hallelujah. No one could take his life. So many times they tried to kill him during his earth walk, but he slipped through and they were not able to come to kill him because the Bible said that his time was not yet come. I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up again. Hallelujah. No one could take his life away from him. No one had the ability to do that. But he knew the reason why he came. He did all these miracles. He performed all these things. But he knew that the ultimate reason that he came was to redeem man back to God, to restore man back to the way God intended for him to be. He knew that he had to go to the place to pay the price for man. See, in the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, last week you look at it, I'll go over it again. When they sinned against God, they died. They died. They didn't die physically first. They died spiritually. What is spiritual death? They were separated from God. Instead of coming into the presence of God, when God came and said, where are you? They were trying to run away. They were ashamed to stand in the presence of God. And then physical death followed later. They've lost the life of God. So Jesus Christ came, knew that he had come to restore the life of God back to man. But the penalty of Adam and Eve's sin had to be paid. And he was the one that he knew that He had to pay that price. So he knew why he came. And so in the garden, let's look at what happened in the garden in Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 46. Now he's ready to lay down his life, but he really doesn't want to go through that process. Why is that? Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 46. Thank you, Lord. In the garden, what happened there? Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Why at this moment is he shuddering at the thought of going to the process? He knows that he's going to have to be made sin. He knows that he's going to have to bear the sin of humanity. He's going to have to pay that price. He's going to have to be a partaker of the nature that is the nature of the devil. That is the nature that is not of God. He knows that he's going to have to go to the cross and take the sin. He knows that he's going to subject himself to the devil. He knows that he's going to have to go to hell, the place that people that reject him should go. He knows that he's going to have to go there. And so because of that, he's going through. Is there any way possible, God, that we can do this? And if you think about it, if Jesus Christ hadn't done that, God eternally will have no children. We wouldn't have come into the family of God. God wouldn't have children, sons and daughters, people that his family eternally will be lost. So God, is there any way we can do this without going through that process? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 tells us exactly what happened. It says that, "For he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." He knew that he's going to have to be made sin. He's going to have to partake of the nature of the devil. That nature that was breathed into Adam in the beginning, he knows that he's going to have to be made sin. And he knows how horrible that nature is. And so he's just trying to say to the Father, "Is there any way we can do this?" So many times in our lives, we come to the place, or God may tell us to do something. What he's telling us to do, our very hearts may not want to do it. But we have to come to the place where our will is totally yielded to him and say, "Not my will, but your will be done in my life. God, whatever you tell me to do, I will do it. It may be difficult. It may be impossible. But I know that if you said, you'll give me the grace to be able to accomplish it. Totally yielded to the will of God in what he has told us to do. You may say that maybe my life is insignificant. But no, Jesus Christ knew that. He said, while he was on earth, he says, except a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. It abides alone. It will stay alone. Same for our lives. If we do not yield ourselves to God, we abide alone. But think about what one life yielded to God can do. One life totally yielded to God can change a whole generation, a whole continent, a whole city, a whole family can be changed by one person deciding to yield their will to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, not my will, but your will be done. He decided that he was going to do this. He was going to go forward and become sin, become a partaker, take the spirit, the nature of the devil, which was dead. He's going to be made dead. He's going to die so we can live. Hallelujah. May our lives be totally yielded to him. Every time, tell ourselves that, God, not what I want to do with my life. I've decided to do that several years ago. I said, God, not what I want to do with my life, but what you want to do with my life. It is totally yielded to you. Use it for your glory. Take it and do something with it. One person, one man. He says, if the grain of wheat does not fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But when it dies, it can bear so much fruit. So at that point, the Bible says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, knowing what was the joy. The joy was you and I. The joy was he seeing that God's family has been restored back. God's family is now back. For the joy of seeing multitudes throughout whole generations coming in, he said, I will do it. I will go and sacrifice so that God can have his family back. Think about it. His sacrifice that he did is still bearing fruit. Hallelujah. So this morning, let's make a decision that we will say that not our will, but his will be done in our life. And when he came out of the garden, the battle had already been won in as far as he was concerned. He came out as a conqueror. He came out victorious. When he came out of the garden, he said, who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? I am here. Let these other people go. So far as he was concerned, he had yielded his will to God, and then he was ready to go through that place where he could sacrifice and man could be restored to God. But the point I want you to see is that the reason why he was almost shrinking from it was because of this. He said, for he knew he was going to be made sin. He knew he was going to be a partaker of the nature of the devil. He knew that Satan was going to be his master. But then when he considered the other side, he was willing to go forward and yield his will. That his will so we might come back to God. So that's what happened in the garden. Totally yielded to God and saying that I will go and do this. Hallelujah. Then he went to the trial. The people at the trial knew exactly. These were Jews. They understood the blood covenant. They understood the covenant of God. But they said, no, let his blood be on our heads. Let his blood be on our children, our heads and our children. They understood perfectly what was going on. But they crucified him. And then when he went to the cross, at some point he said, God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? At that point, he was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. That we can go back into the presence of God unashamed, unafraid. We can stand before Almighty God, saying, knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed for us, and we can go back in. But let's look at what happened on the cross. It was such an intense moment when Jesus Christ died on the cross that there was darkness over the face of the whole earth. There was actually an earthquake also that took place. Luke chapter 23, verse 44. Luke 23, 44. We look at Luke's account and then also Matthew's account. At the time that Jesus Christ died, it says it was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. While the sun's light failed, 45, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Hallelujah. Darkness. It was the hour of darkness. It was the hour when he was made sin for us. When he partook of the nature, of the sin nature, he took it. We didn't commit any sin. No. He took that sin nature on him by faith. And by when he did that, then he gave up his spirit. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. But the thing is, it was a dark hour. Darkness covered the whole earth. And the veil of the temple was torn in two. That thing was very thick, way up high. As somebody, at a mystery from heaven, may have come and torn that thing into two and saying that, no, now God is not shut up in the holies of holies anymore. The way has been opened and man can go back in. And so that thing was torn into two. And even if you look at Matthew chapter 27, 51 to 54, it talks about the fact that there was an earthquake. Creation, all of creation acknowledged the fact that this was an august moment. Matthew 27, 51 to 54. That's Matthew's account of the same thing when Jesus Christ died. And he says, and behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Notice, from top to bottom. And the earth shook, and the rocks were split. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Such a moment in the time of the earth, that darkness, the earth shaking, and tombs splitting, rocks splitting. It was the hour of the power of darkness that all of the earth acknowledged that something had happened. He had taken of the nature of the adversary for us. When he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that point, because he had that nature, God couldn't look on it and he was forsaken. He was forsaken. Forsaken. Why have you forsaken me? He became our substitute. The Bible says that the preaching of the cross is the power of God. That is why a transfer took place. He partook of our nature that we may partake of his nature later on. We may partake of the life of God later on. He had to go through that so that we could be brought back to the same place and receive the very life of God. Receive the very nature of God. Make that available. See, redemption wasn't completed till he submitted his blood into the heavenly holies of holies. And then God accepted that and he said the punishment and the price has been paid. He went to hell for 3 days, paid the penalty where you and I were supposed to have paid. He paid it on behalf of the whole human race. We were supposed to have died. We were supposed to have gone to hell. But he went there for us. And so when he was crucified, one thing you have to realize that when he was crucified, we were crucified with him as well. In the mind of Christ, in the mind of God, the whole human race was crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like when Adam sinned, all of us were in there, but what he did, Romans chapter 5 talks about the fact that by virtue of one man's sin, sin spread and passed on all of us. But by virtue of one man coming to die for us, the life of God is now made available unto us as well. But you have to realize that when he was crucified, in the mind of Christ, in the mind of God, we were crucified with him. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 emphasizes that. Galatians 2, 20. Thank you, Lord. Galatians 2, 20. This is Paul speaking. And we can say the same thing as well. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. Was Paul there when Jesus Christ was crucified? No, he wasn't. Think about it. He wasn't there when Jesus Christ was crucified. He wasn't at the crucifixion. But he's saying that I have been crucified with Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the center point at which the substitution happened. And in the mind of Christ, when he was crucified, I was crucified with him. My old nature was crucified with him. I was crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. The life that I now live, he loved me so much. He loved you so much. He gave his life for you. And so if he didn't live for himself, but he was thinking about me, now you also make a decision that I'm going to live my life for him. Hallelujah. He's saying that the life that I now live, I'm no longer living the one living, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh. Hallelujah. I'm no longer the one living. That is my heart cry. May Christ take me so over that when people see me, when people see you, may they testify that you are no longer the one living, but Christ has taken you over completely and he's living his life through you. He's manifesting the same love that he loved you, manifesting it through others. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited about this. The life that I now live in the flesh, I'm decided I'm not going to live for myself any longer. I'm going to live for the one who loved me and died for me, totally yielded to his will and to his plan. Hallelujah. Taking you over and manifesting his love. The life that I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by faith in the Son of God. He said, because I live, you will also live. You are not dead anymore if you are a believer. You are now in the kingdom of God. You have come into God's household. You have come into God's house. He's living in you and he's looking to express himself. Let's allow him to do that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The life, say that to yourself. Lord, I yield myself to you. Lord, you loved me enough that when you were in the garden, when you were dreading even going to the cross, you saw me way ahead of time. You thought about me way ahead of time. You loved me and you gave yourself to me. And now I intend to do the same. I live by faith in you, by the faith in the Son of God. Who loved me? The life I now live in the flesh. Notice in the flesh. You are living in the flesh. The real you is now living in the flesh. But let Jesus Christ take you over completely. That when people see you, they will know that they have been in the very presence of Christ himself because he is in you and he is manifesting himself through you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You were crucified with him. I wasn't there, no, but I was crucified with him. I was crucified with him. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When he hung there and he was crucified, I was crucified. I have a new nature now if you are in Christ. You have a new nature. You were crucified with him. I say that with Paul. I was crucified with him. You see, if you were standing there as a cross, you wouldn't have noticed what happened from a spiritual standpoint. The cross was, what happened there was the ultimate sacrifice to bring us back to God. But the disciples there didn't know what was going on. And if you were standing on, all you would have seen was the beating that they were beating him. And I mean, all the things that he said, but the real transaction that happened in the spirit realm. It happened where you couldn't see. When he was made sin, if you were standing there, you would have seen it. It happened in his spirit that he was made sin for us. And the whole chastisement to redeem man back to what God intended happened right there when he was on the cross. But it happened, what God did to him was more important than what the Roman soldiers did to him. Let's go a step further here. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 to 6. Isaiah 53, 4 to 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love the word of God. Look at this. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Do you see that? We esteemed him stricken, smitten by who? By God and afflicted. The real price that he had to pay, there was God striking him, was God smiting him, was God afflicting him. Because the sin that Adam had done, he had to pay for that. He had to pay for that. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. He was smitten by God himself. God struck him. The punishment that we should have paid for. The punishment that should have come upon us. God had to be satisfied with the claims of justice that he was presenting. So he struck him. Smitten, afflicted by God. He was pierced for our transgressions. So if you were standing there, on right there, like the people standing there, you wouldn't have noticed this happening. You wouldn't notice God striking him, God smiting him, God afflicting him. That is all in the invisible realm, in the spirit realm. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace or wholeness. And with his wounds, we are healed. That is not the physical wound. That is the wound that God was afflicting and inflicting on him. We are healed. The chastisement necessary to purchase our peace, our peace, our peace, our peace. That word peace there signifies the whole redemption program. In the Hebrew, it says nothing missing or nothing broken in our lives. Restore us to peace spiritually, in our souls, in our bodies, in our your needs being met, finances, all that. That is encompassed in the whole program. And by his stripes, by the wounds that were laid on him, we were healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then verse 10 to 12 talks about what happened. That's why it says, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. Again, if you are there, you would not have seen it. He has put him to grief. When he makes his soul an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish, notice, of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Hallelujah. He saw the anguish of his soul, and he was satisfied. He said, that's enough. The price has been paid. But the point is, you wouldn't have seen that standing there. The anguish of his soul, the chastisement of him, being smitten, being afflicted, you wouldn't have been able to see that if he were standing there, taking the sin of the whole world, the sin of Adam, and the iniquities of the whole world, taking all the sicknesses of the whole world, taking the poverty of the whole world, God put that on him, smitten and afflicted. He was, the Bible said that he was so mad, that his figure was so mad that you couldn't even recognize him if you saw him. The most sickest man that you ever saw. The sin-ridden person that you ever saw. God put that on him on the cross for us. Smitten and afflicted by God for us. The chastisement necessary, what was necessary to purchase wholeness, what was necessary to restore us back to God, he took it upon himself on that cross. What love. No wonder he didn't want to do it. But it was an act of his will to go for it, to go and do it. What was necessary to purchase our healing, what was necessary to obtain righteousness for us, he did it. He said, by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Hallelujah. 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 You see, verse 9, remember in the beginning, verse 9, he said that, and they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. The Greek word, the Hebrew word there for death is in the plural. Deaths. Remember, he said, no one can take my life away. But when he died spiritually first. And then when he died spiritually, then physical death followed later. When he partook of that nature, and die spiritually, when he was separated from God, that's why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now he was separated from the Father. But everything that was necessary to purchase the redemption of mankind, he carried it. By his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, we are healed. The chastisement necessary to obtain the peace, our wholeness, he paid for it. And I use this illustration that once the penalty of a price has been paid, or like a prisoner, once they serve their sentences and they've paid the price, they don't have to be sentenced again. That price has been paid. The price for our redemption has been paid. The price for our wholeness has been paid. Physically, spiritually, in every area of our life, wholeness is available to us for us to enjoy. The price for our healing has been paid. The price for us to walk in the fullness of all that he has provided for us has been paid. God was satisfied with the punishment that he went through. And he said, it's enough. And when he died, he went to hell for us. And he not didn't stay in hell, but he rose. But the point is, whatever was necessary for our redemption was paid. It was paid. It was paid in full. The price has been paid in full for us, that we can walk in the fullness of what has been purchased for us. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The Hebrew goes on to the meaning of those words. He's borne our pains and our sicknesses. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, Matthew giving his account, he said, He himself took our sicknesses and our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses, our infirmities. He bore them for us. Took it for us. So I decided a long time ago that what has been paid, I do not have to pay that price again. All you have to do is to decide that you are going to walk in the peace that has been purchased for you. You are going to walk in the health that has been purchased for you. You are going to walk in everything that is part of the redemption ticket or the redemption package that has been purchased for us. It's all been done for us. Laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was afflicted. He did not, verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearers. It pleased the Lord to crush him, to put him to grief for us. Pleased the Lord totally for him to take our place so we can have his life. So we can walk in the fullness of what has been purchased for us. You may be here or you may be listening and you say, I don't have peace. No, the peace has already been purchased. Say, I receive that peace. You may be sick. Say, no, I receive the healing that has been purchased for me. You may be in a situation, you may be even not in the kingdom of God at all. You say, no, he has been made sin for me. He has paid that price for me. And so I accept his righteousness. See, this whole program is very simple. The Bible is very simple when you understand it from this standpoint. What Adam did, what God, Jesus Christ did for us, what he is doing in us now as well. It's very simple. It's the cross was where the exchange took place. If he hadn't done that, there was no way anybody could have come to the kingdom of God. And what happened to him was spiritual. It was in a spiritual. You say, what does that apply to me in my day-to-day life? No, peace is available. His health is available. He's available because he's taking the punishment that was due. We had to bear that punishment. But no, love came and said, no, I would assume the responsibility for what Adam did so my people can be brought back in wholeness. You may be faced with a situation right now that seems unmovable. Listen, we remember that we started in the beginning with resurrection power become already toward us who believe. And he's being seated far above all principality and power. And not only that, he's given all things to the church and put everything is under his feet and gave everything to the church. So now we have come to a place where we are in the kingdom of God. We can walk in the victory that has been purchased for us. The devil will try to tell you that no, this doesn't belong to you. Health doesn't belong to you. This peace doesn't belong to you. Tell him and respond back to him and say, no, my health was paid for. My redemption is complete. I am no longer the one living. The one living in me is Christ himself. I allow him to live his life through me. And whatever cannot be found in Christ, I refuse it to accept it in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If it cannot be found in him and he is in me, I refuse to accept it. Hallelujah. I refuse to let my peace be disturbed. I refuse whatever is not on that redemption ticket because the punishment has already been paid. I am the righteousness of God because not because of my own righteousness. He made me righteous. He was made sin so that I may be made righteous. He was made a curse so I can enjoy the blessing. He was made sick so I can enjoy his health. He was made poor so I can enjoy his riches. He did all that for me, and all I have to do is to thank him and say, God, I thank you. I received that. Who else can I go and share this with? That's all I've decided to do. He's done all this for me. I'll walk in the fullness of it. And not only that, I'll go and tell everybody that I can tell about that. Hey, the life of God is now available to you. You don't have to be in your sin and your sins anymore. You can come out of that condition. God can turn it around. The resurrection power is available to you. You can be walk in the newness of life as well. It is available to you. Today, whatever is dead in your life that is supposed to come alive, in the name of Jesus, that resurrection power that is already toward us, I declare that whatever is dead that is meant to be alive comes to back to life. Every situation, every mountain, every issue facing you, that family-wise, whatever the case might be, I declare in the name of Jesus, the resurrection life back into that situation in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. The life of God available to us, for us to walk in. He gave his life, now I give my life. He loved us so much, when he was in the garden, he decided that I would do this. I would do this. He had you in mind. He had me in mind. He said, for the joy that was before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. He didn't remain in the grave. He rose. We'll touch on that next week. The Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. He rose up. And now, when he rose up, we were raised up with him as well. And we walk in the fullness of what has been provided for us. Understand that. The key point here is when he was in the garden, he didn't want to go because he knew he was going to be made sin. He was going to be partake of the nature of the adversary, but he did it the same, all the same. And then on the cross, there was a transaction for our wholeness and for us to be brought back to God, what God has purchased for us. Isn't he good? He is good. He loves us so much. Loves us so much. Without the resurrection, without the miraculous, Christianity becomes any other religion. Without miracles in our lives, we are no different from the other religions. Other religions, their prophets, they are dead. Dead. But no, Jesus, he's alive. And miracles is what differentiates us. The resurrection power and his miraculous life in our everyday life is what differentiates us from the rest of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This week, expect that resurrection power to show up in your life, everywhere you are, no matter what the issue is. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Just talk to him this morning. You've heard this word. There is resurrection power already towards you if you believe. It is already towards you. Who believe? Getting so many testimonies of what the resurrection life and power is doing in the lives of people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's talk to him. Thank him for that resurrection life. Thank him that he went to the cross for you and I, that we could be brought back into the kingdom of God. Just talk to him this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise and we give you glory, O God. Glory be to your name forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you for your son, O God. We thank you for giving us your best. You only had one. And you give him to us. We intend our best is our lives, O God. Today we decide to give our best to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and glory. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Our lives consecrated and yielded to your plan. We know that you have great plans for us, plans that we cannot even, has not even entered into our hearts yet. But we declare that we walk in the fullness of your plan for our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. And if you are listening to this as well, you say, Pastor Paul, I've heard the word of God. I want this resurrection life that you are talking about. I want this resurrection power that you are talking about. I want sickness to be healed in my body. Whatever the issue might be right now, I want this peace. There is turmoil in my soul. I want what you are talking about. If you are like that, just say, Lord Jesus, I've heard your word. Thank you, Lord, that you died and you rose for me. I believe that with my heart today, that you died and you rose for me. Today, I confess you as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and continue to do. If you are sick as well, he was made sick for your sicknesses. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you bore my sicknesses, oh God. Whatever the sickness is, you name it, and thank him that he bore it, and say that by his stripes I am healed, and I receive your healing and your health that was purchased for me. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I pray for everyone here and everyone listening. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, the resurrection power of God made manifest in every area of their lives, in their spirit, soul, body, in their needs being met. Every area of their lives where there is chaos, I speak peace in the mighty name of Jesus. Where there is sickness, I speak health, oh God. I declare every one of us, oh God, we see your miracles even as we remember the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ this week. Fill our mouth with your goodness. Fill our mouth with your testimonies, oh God. We thank you and we give you praise. We walk in that consciousness that the life that we now live, we live by the faith in the Son of God who died and rose for us. Thank you, Lord.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.